America Weekend. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Welcome to America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thank you very much for listening. The world was surprised early this week when Angelina Jolie printed an op-ed in the New York Times in which she announced that she had had a double mastectomy for preventative purposes. Her mother had died of cancer when she was 56 years old and never lived to see all of the grandchildren that Angelina has with Brad Pitt. Angelina was worried about whether she might have the same kind of thing that took her mother, which was ovarian cancer, so she went and got herself checked and found out that she has a gene called BRCA1, which sharply increases her risk of developing breast cancer and ovarian cancer. The doctors estimated that she had an 87% risk of breast cancer and a 50% risk of ovarian cancer, so she decided to be proactive and preventative and have the double mastectomy now so that she doesn't go away from her kids' lives as her mom did from her life. This has caused a lot of conversation in the last several days, and we're going to have one right now with Florence Williams, who has written a couple of pieces herself about why she is not following Angelina's lead. Florence is also the author of a book called Breasts, A Natural and Unnatural History. Florence, welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Why are you not following Angelina Jolie's lead?
The reason I'm not following it is because, believe it or not, our DNA has been patented by private companies, one of which is Myriad Genetics, based in Salt Lake City, Utah. And Myriad, in the 1990s, patented the BRCA1 and BRCA2 genes, which means that in order to do any research on your own genes, you have to go through the company. They have a monopoly on testing the genes, and they've decided to charge over $3,000 for the test. So even though I have what's considered really a strong family history of breast cancer or ovarian cancer, and I met with a genetics counselor who suggested I get tested for these genes, my insurance company disagreed. They didn't want to pay the $3,000, and so I haven't done it.
Our genes are patented by other people? I can understand if somebody were saying, okay, we have a cure for something and we're going to patent that. That's, you know, that's how Pfizer and other big pharmaceutical companies make their money until things end up going generic when the patent runs out. I can see that. I can see the procedure being patented. But they are patenting our own genes so that we can't have them tested by anybody?
That's right. And a lot of people argue that this really does limit research into genes. It limits the sharing of information about genes because there's only one lab that can study this particular genetic material. And so a number of civil rights groups, a number of women's rights groups, and a number of medical and research groups are challenging this patent in the U.S. Supreme Court. And it's actually, the arguments have already been heard, and the Supreme Court will decide the case in June. What Myriad argues is that these patents are necessary for them to invest, you know, the significant resources into developing these tests and into researching the gene. But countering that are the arguments that, hey, wait a minute, you know, this material is our material, belongs to us. This is not necessarily a technology. It's human cells, and we should all, have open access to them.
Now, I see two problems here. One is the one of a company being able to patent something that's inside our bodies and then charge $3,000 to test it. But the other problem seems to me to be that the insurance companies, and certainly yours, say, oh, you know what, we're not going to pay the $3,000 for that test. And you cannot be alone in this, Florence. There must be other women in exactly the same boat.
Yeah, that's right. I think we tend to think that either you have a family history or you don't, and it's pretty clear cut. But actually, it's not. In Angelina's case, you know, her mother had ovarian cancer. So that's what they call a first-degree relative if you have a mother or a sister with a disease. In my case, I have two grandmothers and a great-grandmother. So my insurance company calls these, you know, second and third degree relatives. And even though I have multiple second and third degree relatives and in different generations, My insurance company says, no, not quite close enough, whereas my genetic counselor disagreed and said, no, actually, this really is, you know, possibly a concern, and we think she should be tested. So, you know, it's just an example of how there's a lot of, you know, gray area in this. And when these decisions are left up to corporations, sometimes it doesn't go in the way we hope it goes.
Wow. Why don't you figure out some way to get the $3,000 together?
Well, that's a good question. I did a lot of research in this topic as I recently wrote a book about the natural history of breasts. And
yep.
What I found out is there are actually a lot of genes that are linked to breast cancer. The BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene, you know, Angelina had the BRCA1. These are very common, you know, of the genetic causes of breast cancer. These are common ones, but they probably only account for half of all hereditary breast cancers. The other genes, there are, you know, maybe a dozen of them, and some of them we're still discovering. So my odds of having a breast cancer 1 or breast cancer 2 gene are actually, you know, not that high. It's, you know, it's probably, I probably have a less common breast cancer gene. And that's because the people in my family who have breast or ovarian cancer are a little bit farther removed. You know, if my mother had had breast cancer or every aunt and, you know, all my first cousins, then that would raise a flag for me that it's more likely a breast cancer 1 or 2 gene. And that's because those genes really often lead to cancers. Whereas these other genes have kind of less, in some ways less penetrance, they're less effective in causing cancers. So that's one of the reasons where I feel like, okay, I'm going to calm down about this and not necessarily cough up the money myself. And I also feel like I have a little bit of time to wait until the Supreme Court makes a decision. I'm in my mid-40s now. Your chances of getting breast or ovarian cancer increase with these genes as you get older. So I feel like I have a little bit of time to see what the Supreme Court's going to do.
Certainly until next month, we would hope.
Right, we hope, yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you about the other controversy about what Angelina's announcement has done. There are people now concerned that this is going to lead to even more unnecessary mastectomies. I've read this week that has already been a trend towards mastectomies that are not medically necessary for a lot of early stage breast cancers. And since you've literally written a book on this subject, what's your take?
Yeah, my take is that there does seem to be kind of an outsized proportion of fear surrounding breast cancer. We do all know people who've had breast cancer. Many of us know it's still the most common killer of women in middle age. So but there's so much fear around it that probably isn't quite warranted by the statistics. And so what's happening now is that some women are getting diagnosed with pre-cancer, what they call ductal carcinoma in situ, which are sort of these cells that could turn cancerous and invasive. And a lot of women are choosing to get bilateral mastectomies, get both of their breasts removed, even though they just have this pre-cancer. Because the other alternative is to just do a lot of, you know, vigilant screening. But, of course, now we're also hearing that the screening sometimes isn't that effective, and the screening sometimes misses cancers or overdiagnoses cancers. And so for some women, there's just too much anxiety associated with keeping your breasts, because of all the fear, and frankly also just because the technology isn't really good enough to make us always feel assured.
Are the insurance companies involved in that equation as well?
Yeah, they are, and there's also some, I think, variance as to whether insurance companies will pay for prophylactic mastectomies. Some certain insurance companies will, some won't. Depends on the diagnosis. It depends on, you know, what some of the doctors and medical companies are recommending. So it's not something that's really clear cut, but I do think it's important that women really understand the statistics. If they are faced with a ductal carcinoma in situ diagnosis, in many cases these do not lead to cancer, do not lead to invasive cancer, and getting the surgery to have your breast removed is very involved, very painful surgery. The implants also are often associated with serious side effects. So it's just a big decision that shouldn't be governed just by fear, but should also be governed by an understanding of the stats.
I will say the part of the Angelina Jolie story that disgusted me was the reaction from some pigs online and in various other places who were, they looked at Angelina Jolie as a sexual being and, oh, without her breasts, she won't be worth anything. You know, that sort of nonsense always comes out of the woodwork when we talk about this subject, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is disgusting. And I think it also just speaks to how obsessed we are with breasts in our culture, you know, in this just totally kind of a one-sided sexual way. And I really have to hand it to Angelina Jolie for writing such an honest essay in the New York Times about her decision and about the bruising and the bleeding and the pain. She's really taken a giant step towards trying to sort of desexualize this organ and talk about it as it really is, which is a very complicated, fraught part of the body.
You're absolutely right. Florence Williams, who would actually like you to be obsessed with breasts, the book, because she wrote it. Florence Williams, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
The full title of the book is Breasts, A Natural and Unnatural History. I'm Paul Harris. Find us on Facebook and on Twitter at America Weekend. I'll be right back with Knuckleheads in the News. America.